as this podcast moves forward, we're going to have artists, comedians, movie makers, producers, musicians. We're going to have them on our podcast, and we're going to ask them these kind of questions because we want to know what it's like for them to travel around and do their job and where they like to work and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Did you just have a supplement? Is that what that was?
I thought you weren't watching it.
I thought you didn't have a supplement.
One! All right.
Welcome to the Standby Podcast. Hey, Francisco, let's do a little catch up with each other, man. How are you? How was your weekend?
It was good, man. I watched the Super Bowl, you know.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I did. I watched and I gambled.
Oh, you did?
Okay. Yeah, I had a little gamble.
And, did you win?
I did. Nice. I'm up. I would say I won. I'm 30% up. Let's put it that way.
All right. What was the bet?
So I bet on a whole bunch, but I bet on Tom Brady to win.
Okay.
So I bet on the Buccaneers to win, and that was a big one. I bet most of my
So how does income. That work? Did you bet like, cause I mean, I don't know that much about betting. So, what I see sometimes that people go like, in order to win like 200, you have to bet 150 or something like that. Or like,
yeah, well, they give you that 150 back, right? So you get it back. So yeah, the numbers, like I was learning myself too, but when it says plus 125, that means if you bet 100, you get your 100 back plus 125.
Oh, got it.
So you would bet 100 and then plus 125, so you're leaving with 225.
Oh, I thought it was like they. Okay, that makes more sense because I thought it was
you bet like a hundred. Yeah, because it makes you initially, if you're looking at it mathematically, you think it's only going to be a $25 profit.
Yeah, right? Which I was like, it's so stupid. Like,
why would I bet $100 to get $25?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, entirely. So that was the deal. So I put a good chunk of the money on Tampa to win, which they did. And then I also put a good chunk of money on Tampa to win each half of football, which they did. And okay. I put I put a whole bunch of tiny $10 bets on stuff. So I put $10 on that. It was the coin flip was going to be heads.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I won that.
All right.
$10 was going to be heads. I put $10 that the weekend was going to wear a Canadian tuxedo.
But that was a loss, right? Or is that...
That was a loss. Yeah,
that's a loss, right? Okay.
Yeah, because he didn't. He wore like some sort of sparkly.
Yeah, he wore. That's. He's been wearing that for his whole album. So like, it was obvious that he was gonna wear that.
No way.
Yeah, you should have told me. You should have asked me.
I wish I'd have talked to you.
Yeah, that's from the music video, or you know, like he wears that same thing.
Oh no! I thought he was just doing the face bandage thing, but I didn't know he was wearing a tacky.
Yeah, he always wore the red thing. That's why all those guys were wearing the same thing. The dancers, you know.
It's such an ugly jacket. It was the ugliest jacket I've ever seen.
Well, like some people tweeted that, you know, like they were like saying that, you know, like Richard Pryor, you know, when he was wearing that red suit.
Yeah.
So people were like, "Oh, this is. I'm gonna tell my kids this was the weekend." Or
something. Right. I know, but. Yeah, but the thing about anybody pre-1990, nothing was fitted yet. So, of course, everybody had baggy, ill-fitting suits, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, because I was just watching him going, but maybe that's it. I haven't seen enough of him. So I was watching going, why wouldn't he dress a little bit better?
Yeah.
But so we bet on that. I put $10 that Ariana Grande was going to show up.
And, why did people think she was going to show up?
Well, she's got a song with him, doesn't she? Does she sing a duet with him?
I don't know. Also, I get. Yeah, I mean, if she did, then that makes sense. Yeah,
I was tipped that they have a song that they are doing together. But now that I said that, you get your $10 back if nobody showed up.
Okay.
Yeah, and nobody did. So.
Oh, okay. So that was like a wash.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting.
I learned that thing now, that the whole 120 or whatever. And then what happened when it's negative? You still get the money? How does that work? Minus 100.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you have to do the math. I haven't seen a minus 100, but it means you make very little. So if it's like a sure thing, it's like if the bet is like, say, will Tom Brady be tall or whatever, like, so that's a sure thing. And then it's a minus 165. You usually have to plug it in, but that's when the numbers don't really work. That's when you'll be like, oh, so I have to bet $100 to win like $15.
Oh, okay. 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 So it's when it's plus when you make, cause that's like the not favorite one.
Yeah. Cause there was one of whether or not there's going to be a streaker.
Oh, yeah.
And there was. And so, because I was going to go no, because I was looking at it. And so $10, and I was betting no streaker. And the win on $10 was like $10.60 or something. I was like, all right, only win 60 cents. I was like, that's crap. No point. So I skipped that one. And then we talked about it. Then we had this discussion about how there hasn't been a streaker. Hey, I haven't seen a streaker in a sporting event for years. And then sure enough, there's a streaker. We're like, holy shit.
Well, what happened if the streaker actually bet on that? Like, imagine, because then he could win the whole money. He's like, oh, I'm going to bet $1 million. It's going to be a streaker. And then he's the one that streaks. And he's like, fuck it.
That's exactly a great move. That's what we were saying, man. We were saying, like, if I was the weekend and I knew all these bets were happening, I'd be calling up my friends going, okay, I'm going to wear sunglasses. I'm going to wear my sequin jacket. And Ariel Grande is not showing up. Enjoy. Yeah, but apparently the way they avoid it is that you can't make huge bets. So they only let you make – I don't know what the cutoff is. But, yeah, because you could bet on the color of the Gatorade.
Yeah, I saw that trending.
You know, and so we were like, okay, if you can bet on the color of Gatorade, then that means just whoever the dude is that fills up the Gatorade can call
us. Just bet, yeah. So that means then the big bets are only for like the actual games or stuff like that, where it's not the cheating of it is very impossible unless the players are involved or coaches or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Then it gets really cool. Yeah, you can't do like, if you remember Pete Rose? I think there's been a few athletes that have been. Yeah. So, yeah.
Pete Rose is the biggest one. Yeah.
It helps them weed out the corruption.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know? And then, so we had Gatorade. But yes, so because I generally lost all the ridiculous bets, they were all losers. But I won by betting on the Buccaneers. And
that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was a good laugh, you know?
Yeah.
And you were watching, you watch it with the same group every year, do you? You watch it with your family, right?
Well, it's not every year, but just this year because of the COVID year, you know? So yeah, it was very,
all right.
You know, just my sister and my mom who's visiting and that's it. You know, it was nothing. It was just pretty much just the same people, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing. I wasn't going to do a super spreaded Super Bowl party.
Yeah. Are you guys getting COVID sick of each other yet?
Because I don't live with my sister, so it's not like we're together, you know what I mean, all the time.
Right.
So I think that prevents it, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. So, is there anything else we need to catch up on before we hit the lowdown here?
Besides that, there's not that much to catch on, you know, in terms of like, I went this and I did that because, I'm not going to be lying and saying that stuff.
Because the world is moving at a snail's pace.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I think this is a good opportunity anyway, since this is going to be our first episode that's going live on Twitch and is going to live here.
Yeah.
You know, and I am hoping that maybe we'll get a couple people popping in. If you are popping in and you're just watching in the wings, please enjoy the show. You're more than welcome to comment down in the commenty bit, and you can send us some questions. What we have in mind, as Francisco and I, you did that, Francisco.
Yeah, I did that so I could say hi to the people that are watching. You know.
Well done, man. Nicely.
Yeah.
Nicely done. So it works. So it exists.
We hit hello. Yeah, right here.
Yeah. we have We have 7 followers. We like them all. So thank you. Thank you, 7 followers who have shown up. Welcome to Stand By with JJ and Francisco. What we want to do as the show evolves, we intend to talk a lot about travel and the arts.
Yeah.
And how travel affects the arts and how it affects like where we move for our jobs. Because Francisco and I are immigrants to the USA.
Mm-hmm.
And we immigrated here to further our comedy career / just plain enjoy our comedy careers and enjoy the sunshine of California.
Yeah.
Francisco is from Venezuela. I'm originally from Canada, and some people think I'm from Britain because I stayed there for a long time in my life. But those are our goals. So welcome to the show. And what we're going to do for this episode, since this is going to be the first one that lives on Twitch, because as we grow in this podcast, we want to bring artists on the podcast as our guests and start asking them questions about travel and their decisions in their lives and why have you moved here and when you lived there kind of thing. That, as basic and simple as it sounds, that is our modus operandi. What's a better way of putting it?
Our niche.
That is our niche. That is our goal.
Brand or whatever. Our log line.
That's our log line. Yeah, that's our identity. Yes. And what I thought would be a lot of fun to do this is our 11th or 12th episode.
11th. They're all
11th episode, and they all live on YouTube. So if you want to see past episodes, feel free to go
follow
to
us there. Yeah.
Yep. But since this is our first one here live on Twitch, what we're going to do is I'm going to introduce you to Francisco Ramos. And what we're going to do is we're going to interview Francisco. I've ran this past him. He doesn't know these questions. But what I have is 10 quick fire questions that I'm going to give to Francisco. He's going to answer them to me as quickly as possible. And that way, hopefully, we'll get like something will come out of his soul that he's not even ready to protect. It's just going to launch it into the ether. The answers are going to just come out as I fire away at him. And then when I get to the end of the 10 questions, we'll have those answers. And I'm going to circle back and we will. And then I'll ask, we'll get Francisco to expand a little bit. While I'm firing through these questions, those of you who are watching, if you have a question for Francisco, please feel free to write it in the questions box. And that's when I'll go to that after I do these questions.
Yes. Put it on the stream chat.
Yeah. So we're all on board. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest for this week.
Quick the questions when you ask me. Quick.
Yeah. Try to give me your best answer, like within a sentence. It'd be cool if it's a one word answer, but you know, it's usually within I think most of them are within a sentence answers. You know, and also, yeah. And don't, if a question sounds confusing, I mean, you can ask me to try to redefine the question, but if not, if you can just think of an answer for your own interpretation, I say we run with that too. Cause it'll be funny afterwards when I go like, I said, what box do you like? And you said cereal, what or whatever. Okay. I don't, but yeah. So we'll do things that way. And I think this will be a fun way to introduce Francisco Ramos to our audience that we are building here on Twitch. So we good to go?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest this week is also the co-host of this show. It's Francisco Ramos, ladies and gentlemen, a fantastic comedian, you know, works all over the circuit, all over America. You will recognize his distinct voice from really cool. Should I mention Rio too? You'd be like, be sick.
Yeah, why not? I mean, like, it's funny because, we'll mention it.
Yeah. And he has a new short film that has just come out on HBO Max. Short film called Zoo Animals, so please do check that out. So let's have it. Let's have some air applause for Francisco Ramos.
Thank you. That's where we should have like sound effects.
Yeah. We could. Yeah.
Hey, our like producer, fake sitcom laughs. Like.
Yeah, man. Our producer Brian is watching in the wings, and I think you can take notes of that. Note of that, Brian. We would like some fake. applause, some fake rapturous applause. Okay, Francisco, I have 10 questions for you.
All right. I'm
gonna fire them at you. You give me the first answer that pops into your head. Okay, here we go. Question number one. Where were you traveling when you had the worst flight that you've ever had?
Syracuse.
Syracuse.
Yes.
All right. Okay. What is the longest flight you've ever taken?
To Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan? I didn't even know that was a real place. Hey, Francisco, what kind of unnecessary item do you like to travel with? You know, do you have that you don't need it to travel, but you love to have it with you when you're on the road?
Vitamins.
Vitamins. That's
or supplements or something like that. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's very interesting, man. Francisco, what is your favorite place outside of California that you like to go for to perform, to perform a comedy show?
New York and DC.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tie. It's a tie between New York and DC.
Yeah.
This next question is it's similar but different, because the next question is, what is your favorite place outside of California to travel for a holiday?
Oh, okay. I love
it. It takes a comedian longer to answer this one because we don't do
holidays. We don't do holidays. Yeah, we don't.
We just work.
So. Yeah. I think I love traveling to Europe, which I haven't seen that much of it. So I would love to do more of that.
More of Europe. Great. Because I know you were in Dublin.
Yes.
A while ago, because I remember we had a chat about that.
Yeah, you connected me with a guy and then it didn't work out.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't your fault.
We'll circle back. What is your favorite thing to do on a flight? I think that summed it up.
I guess sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah, because it makes a thing. Yeah. I won't say anything else.
That makes enough sense.
Yeah.
At least it's not like harass other people on the flight.
Yeah, right. Imagine that.
Okay. And this one is a two-parter, and hopefully you can answer quickly. But has your luggage ever been lost on a flight, and where were you going with what airline?
Wow. I actually don't think I have anything gotten lost. I mean, well, I lost my wallet.
You lost your wallet?
Yeah. So it wasn't my luggage, but it was worse. Because it was my wallet.
Right. Yeah, that is...
I have a good story about that.
Yeah, and then you don't get to blame an airline, though, in that case.
No. I mean, I would blame the people that are that didn't return it. You know what I mean? Like that one, I would blame. You know, so I do blame the airline for not finding it. Because I think it's bullshit that somebody just stole it.
Certainly is. That is question. Three more questions, buddy. Here you go. Where would you like to travel that you haven't been? Well, actually, you kind of answered that with your Europe question. So you do want to see more of Europe.
Well, yeah, I guess London is one that I want to see. I've never been there. So
awesome. What kind of mode of travel did you use for the Ramos family holidays when you were younger?
It had to be a lot of driving. You know, car. Yeah, a car.
Always by car.
Pretty much.
When we circle back, I'm going to want you to define the kind of car and everything.
By the way, Brian, we got a... I mean, sorry, Brian. I'm talking about that. JJ.
Yeah, we do.
We got a question. What's the biggest...
Hiya, Brian. Well, like I said at the start, what we're going to do is we have one question left, and then I'll circle back, and then we'll do some of these questions. So, Brian, thank you, Brian, for coming in with a question, and it's about to be asked in a second here. As soon as we get this last one out of Francisco, which is just what kind of travel advice do you have for somebody? One piece. This is question number 10. This final question. And then we got Brian Guts coming at us with a question.
I think that's brain.
Oh, is it brain guts? Oh yeah. Brain guts. dyslexic Jay. Brian Guts. Buddy. So what one piece of travel advice do you have?
Don't go cheap. Try to like the little things that you think are saving you money are not worth it.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. There's value in what you spend.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially if you travel a lot.
All right. Now, that brings me to the answer to the 10 questions. We are going to circle back, but you know what? You've got a, there's a question here that's been asked by Brain Guts. And thanks for chiming in, Brain Guts 7. I'm going to grab a drink, and Francisco, why don't I let you take
which is funny. First of all, I want to know that there were actually other Brain Guts, because it's number 7. So I'm glad that there were like other Brain Guts, and you're like, okay, fine, I'll do number 7. But I'm going to answer your question. What's the difference in international senses of humors? I'm going to speak because of what I know, because my first language is Spanish, but I did pretty much all my stand-up has been in English. So I've always had tried to like just, so I know kind of like more of the English humor not the English, more of the American humor. So I think in terms of when I done stand-up in Spanish, what the difference has been that there's a lot, you don't have to be as fast as in English, in the American culture, because stand-up is like was created here. It's been here for like 50, 60 years. So it's part of the culture. So like in Latin America, stand-up is still kind of like, it's getting more popular and now more people are doing it, but it's still kind of like a new art. So the audiences are still finding out what it is stand-up. And sometimes they think stand-up is kind of like a one-man show or like a play or like a, so there's a lot, so they give you more room to not get laughs. You know, with stand-up, we're used to be like, oh, laughs per minute, we gotta go fast, you know, like if you didn't get a laugh in the first minute, that means you're done, you know, kind of. I grew up on that. And so that kind of messed me up a little bit when I started doing in Spanish. And I was like, oh, I was trying to be fast. And I realized, oh, no, I'm allowed to take my time with this audience because they're still kind of like in that play. Like they finish, like you finish a bit and they clap. Like I haven't gotten that claps by doing a Spanish show that I've done in an English show. And it's crazy. And I mean, like, sometimes you go like, whoa, am I that good? And you're like, no, right. Just so that's kind of like the big difference for me. I don't know. How about you, JJ?
I think that makes a lot of sense. There is a difference in international sense of humor in that, you know, Seinfeld works to Americans and doesn't work to some other cultures. So obviously there's a sense of humor. But I don't personally find I totally understand what you're saying about longer form comedy and to be able to sit in a lull or a moment and not need a laugh, which is the way you feel at a lot of festivals, like at the Edinburgh International Festival.
Oh really?
Or because you are doing a one-man show, because although you are a comedian, you probably do quick fire and hit all these marks in when they come to see you do a long form one-man show, they'll let you ease into it and you don't have to. You still feel it as a stand-up comedian. Sometimes you're like, "Oh, I'm just kind of lounging into the story," but then you see your audience enjoys it. Whereas at a comedy club, I'm like, if I spent 2 minutes getting to the point in a comedy club,
light. They're like, "Get the fuck out of here."
I get slaughtered. So I have noticed all that, but I would say to Brain Guts that there's a difference in senses of humor from comedy club to comedy club. Because a lot of times a comedy club nurtures the culture. Yes. The comedy club creates the culture. So even if you're in a different nation, even if you're in a different country, they'll have different types of comedy clubs. There'll be a rougher comedy club. They all just have these cultures that the bookers nurture from the top down. And so sometimes you can find yourself in a comedy club that's rough and drunk, or you can find yourself in a comedy club with more, laid back people who just want to see.
Even in LA, we, you know, like the example of LA, like performing in like, let's say the Comedy and Magic Club that we both perform at, and then going to the Comedy Store, you know, is that the change is completely different. And then going to the HaHa, which is in North Hollywood, that's a different audience. So you have to adjust.
Like even the difference from the Comedy Magic Club, that is a savvy comedy audience. That is an audience at the Comedy Magic Club that goes and sees comedy all the time. And it's part of their.
But like, you have to be semi-clean, like TV friendly.
Yeah, that's true too. Know? Yeah, semi-clean. Except some comics are allowed. Some comics need to be allowed.
Yeah, I mean, if you got already the big fan, like I know, like for example, Daniel Tosh. You know, when he goes up there, he does whatever he wants, but. He already has a fan base and he can do whatever. So they allow people like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I think, and that's the thing, what I learned working there is kind of like, and once you get become a regular and you perform there a lot, they give you a little more leeway, you know? But still, you still got to realize, I'm like, I can't, because the audience is a conservative audience. I mean, and that's the thing as a comic that you have to, that you learn, like, I'm assuming JJ, you do this too. Like, as soon as we get to a place, we read the audience and then we go like, oh, okay. We adjust how to perform. We don't adjust our jokes. I don't change my bits, but I adjust the way I'm going to deliver them. And that's reading the audience.
Yeah. Your attitude, sometimes your pace as well. Yeah. Those little adjustments, because we watch the audience in the wings and we go, oh, this room is
our older crowd, you know, so we gotta talk slower.
or this room feels impatient. I better get to it quicker or whatever. So so you can sense that tone. I was going to say the Comedy Magic Club with a very experienced audience, and weirdly enough, the Comedy Store, I find, is a less experienced audience because there's a lot more tourists. taking in the night at the world famous Comedy Store. So sometimes you got to be, I don't know, your style has to be more to the point, not a lot of flab, and you can't ease into it and chat to them.
No, you got to go in quick.
Because the tourists will always be, why is he?
And also the comedy
store. Why is he comfortable?
And also the Comedy Store, I mean, the Comedy Magic Club is a more forgiving audience. Like, they will give you more laughs, more pity laughs, even if you're not doing well. The Comedy Store is more like, especially in the original room, like if you're not doing good, they won't laugh. I mean, that room is so dark and so, I mean, it's weird that, and that's why one of the toughest rooms in the world to perform, because it's so funny. Like, you do bits that work in the Comedy Magic Club and then you go here and then you don't get that same reaction and you're like, okay, I'm gonna have to do something different here.
I had, last time I did that room, I had to follow, his name just left my mind. Who's that singer? John Mayer? John Mayer?
Yeah, John Mayer, right.
Yeah, because John Mayer is the swooning singer. He dabbles in a little stand-up right in LA. I had to follow him complaining about dating in LA. He was moaning about dating. So I smashed it because I just followed him and I went, okay, if you're following John Mayer who's complaining about dating, what chance do I have? What chance do I have complaining about women when the famous music Lothario is like, oh, woe is me.
And by the way, that's also that's funny when you're famous, when you start doing other things that you're not, didn't even work at, you know, like, I'm a famous singer. I just want to try stand up just for the hell of it, just because I'm famous. It's like, you know, that's when you know that. Like for us, it's like, okay, I'm going to start singing just for the hell of it because I'm famous. Right. It's like, which wouldn't work.
Yeah. And then I'm sure you would burn bridges with all your fans who will like go, okay, so you're a singer now? Brain Guts, you did great by coming in with the question, but now you've lost points in my mind by following up with a really crappy, crappy question,
literally crappy question.
Yeah, like the exact kind of questions that, like, when I said, does anybody have questions about travel for Francisco Ramos? You knocked it out of the park by being the one to ask a question about international sense of humor. And then you took all those good vibes away by going, there he goes.
Said, wait, what? While traveling.
All right, I'll allow it. I will. We can allow it then. Would you rather fart or shit your pants traveling? There you go, Francisco. I think our viewers are going to learn the trick of, like, you can ask anything now as long as you say wild travel. like Jeopardy. Like, you just have to have the.
Well, that's an easy one. I mean, fart. I mean, you don't want to shit your pants in any situation. You know what I mean? Like, who cares if you fart really loudly? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, the answer's right there. So brain guts, you know, you're. I hope you have bipolar disorder or something. Because...
Yeah, the first one was very like, oh wow, really? This guy, this guy's really interested in the podcast. And then the other one's like, poop.
Yeah, yeah, you really came through for us, and then took it away. So so let's circle back. So you've done our quick fire questions there, Francisco, and we're gonna circle back and dig into your answers, buddy.
All right, let's do it. So,
my first question was, where were you traveling for the first flight you ever had, or for the worst flight? Sorry, worst. For the worst flight you've ever had, you said Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason was, I mean, I couldn't think of another one at the top of my head, because, I mean, there's been ones where there's been like a lot of turbulence and stuff like that. But the one about Syracuse was just because the whole trip was so, I had to do one of my first college gigs. And, and you know, when you do, I mean, as you know, when you do colleges in the US, they're always kind of like in small cities or small towns. So they're never direct flights. So it was like in the middle of the winter, and there was like, I remember going to, I think it was JFK or something like that. And then my flight was delayed because of the snow. And then if I didn't get there, I didn't get paid. So I was going to lose all that money. You know what I mean? Just if, so I was like, oh, and then one of my agents was like, why didn't you just rent a car? And I'm like, I'm not going to drive to Syracuse in the snow. I'm like, no. So like, but finally we got into the flight. I got there. And then I basically just rushed, and I think it was like the college was like maybe like an hour and a half from the small town airport that I landed in. And then I'm already like pressure, and it's snowing, it's like really snowing. I finally get there, and like I'm just nervous just already from the not killing myself on the snow driving. Yeah. You know? And then finally I get to the thing, and it was like, you know, maybe I was 10 minutes late, and I get there, and he was like, if you never to you just to get you an idea of what a college gig is, it's basically like walking into a house that you weren't invited to. You know what I mean? Like you go in there and you're like, hey, I'm about to perform. And they're like, who are you? What are you doing? And that's what it was. It was like a couple of students just waiting there, because it's never that many people. And I started doing one. I mean, and basically when the guy introduced me, it was just so like, even so shitty the way the introduction, like I finally got there. So
they shelled out the money to have you there, and then they behave like they don't want you.
Well, it's not like, I think it has nothing to do with like, they don't want you or not. It's they don't know. It's basically complete, not knowledgeable about how to set up a show. Sometimes some colleges do a great job, but other ones they just think you can do stand up like in the middle of a cafeteria while everybody's eating, and stand up is not like that. You need an environment, you need a good mic, you need a good sound, you need a light, you know, you need a
point of focus as well. Yeah, I'm all too well aware. Yeah, when you show up, I mean, there's been gigs that I've showed. Actually, it does have a lot of college gigs. There's been gigs that I've showed up. One pops into mind where the mic lead was coming out of the wall, and it was only like 3 feet long. So I like had this. I was like, you guys have an actual lead so that I can have freedom to perform and stuff. And they're like, oh, this is all we can find. So I was actually. I was like by the wall the whole gig, trying to go back to the room and look at everybody with eye contact. It was fucking ridiculous. And then there was another time where we showed up, me and a couple other comics. This wasn't a college gig though. This was a bar gig, but it was on campus. It was on a campus, but it was a bar gig. But we asked. They were all playing pool, and the TVs were all on. Mm-hmm. And we asked them to turn the TVs off, and it was like we were criminals.
Yeah.
Ooh, ooh, you guys are full of yourselves. You guys think you're a big deal. And we were like, no, dude, we could just, if the TVs are off, then people can hear the jokes. If not, then the TVs are just on and people will look at the TVs. And then when we stop at the end of the joke, they'll look at us and go, that was shit. I know how this works. I know how it happens.
Yeah, I did one where like it was like in their coffee place, like Starbucks thing. And they did, they had the great, so it was like a little stage, and they had the great idea to give, to invite people, to get people to come to say free coffee, you know. So basically, there was a huge line, not to watch me, but to get a free coffee. And while I was performing, all you hear was you know, like the machine making the frappuccinos and all that stuff. So the whole show was like that. And I was basically just, at that point, you just like, I pick one person, like there's only one person that truly listen. And then I just perform to that person and I'm like, all right. And then I'm just counting the time to be like, all right, I'm done. Bye. Thank you.
Yeah. You're just having a little chat to one person. Yeah. That's the only way to get through it.
And I literally, I've done one to one person actually too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Those are always fun, aren't they? Little private show. The second question was, what was the longest flight you've ever taken? And you answered it, Kyrgyzstan, which a lot of us thought it was made up, but that's Kyrgyzstan's a real place. Yeah. So why were you flying to Kyrgyzstan, man?
Because I was joining ISIS. No, I'm kidding. Actually, that was a trip that I went to perform for the American troops, so that was a trip, and it was and the base was in Kyrgyzstan. That was the main base that we were gonna go to, because it was all like Kyrgyzstan and Afghanistan, kind of like the bases, which also, like, when I first told them, like, yeah, I want to do this, because I would see other comments go and they would go to Europe or to, you know, to Japan, you know, and places that are, and then you would travel and you would see that. And then obviously the one that I get is the one to like really where the war was. So it was like to actual bases, and we couldn't go and see any city. So it was very like, I mean, I had a great time. It was cool to do it. It was good. It was a very cool thing to perform in front of.
It's an honor, really.
Yeah. It was great to give them something. But yeah, I mean, speaking of flying, and during that trip, we took a flight from one base to the other, and we got shot. The plane got shot.
Oh, really?
Because holy, we were cow. Like, it was one plane where it was like literally like Black Hawk Down, all the bunch of like army guys with their guns, you know, and we were just sitting there. And then all of a sudden, we see like a thing, like a explosion go, psh, which is like a flare. And we see the guys go, like the army guys were just grab their gun and basically kind of like, ch-ch. And I'm like, at that point, it was like five guys, five comics, and the comic that was next to me, I was like, we basically both grab our hands and we're like, oh my God, we're going to die.
Holy shit, it's happening. We're under fire.
And one other, and this other comic, Byron Bowers, who was also on the show, he actually asked one guy was sitting next to us, he's like, because those guys didn't get scared or anything like that, and the guy was like, hey, so what happened if we die? The guy's like, hey, if we die, we die, like that very Drago from Rocky. And I was he dies, and I was like fuck that, like, come on, man. I just came here to do some comedy. I don't want to die. I didn't sign up for this. It was, you know, that was very scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty scary. I mean, I guess, as I've been told many times, and my father was a navigator as well, but that steel bottom of the choppers, they can't get through that anyway.
Well, the thing, what I learned when we landed, they were like, oh, no, it was nothing. We just did it just to do it. But then I heard, I let it on. I learned that they don't do that. Like, if they did that, it's because somebody did shot at them. So because they actually,
you mean release flares. the flares.
They lied to us to be like, oh no, it was nothing, you know, but it was like, no, that somebody told me that's in the army. They're like, no, they only do that if they actually got shot.
Yeah. Cause they would have had, cause I think those are the two choices. Whenever I've done gigs for the troops and stuff, sometimes they've got a little shtick that they're going to do. We're going to get them in the Jeep and then we're going to terrify them.
Yeah. No, this one wasn't the shtick that they had was like us getting getting attacked by dogs. You know, like you were the thing and the dog attacks you, you know, like.
God, that's a hell of a shtick.
Yeah. But that one is like, it's like planned. That one is like, okay, it's still scary, but not getting shot at. You know, I wasn't getting ready to plan with that one.
No, man. No, not at all. And then I got so then I asked you, of course, what unnecessary item do you travel with? I thought maybe it would be like, oh, I always have a book, or I always have a game I like to play, or a deck of cards that I play with in my hands. But instead, it was vitamins that you said. That's what popped in your head, is vitamins. So now I got to ask a follow up. I'm like, how much vitamins do you have? Because I do have a friend. I have a friend who's deep in the omega, like he owns the omega-3 company, and I went and visited him once in his hotel, and so he's very into supplements.
Yes,
you know, nature's best kind of thing. And then,
yeah,
and I saw his Airbnb. He was staying at an Airbnb, and his desk at the Airbnb had, like, I'm gonna say 40 little bottles of supplements. That's how much he had, like, laid out.
Wow.
Shit, dude, how healthy you gotta get?
So
I have to ask you, when you say vitamins, can you break it down for me? What are your road vitamins then?
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of like what your friend is. I mean, I do bring a lot. Well, the thing is, like, my mom is a pharmacist, you know, so I might,
your mother,
you know,
was a drug dealer.
Yeah, pretty much. So we grew up with, like, a lot of vitamins and supplements in the house, so, like, I guess, right, I got used to that, and I still have it. If you come to my place, you're gonna see a bunch of, like, vitamins and supplements that I take, you know. And so I take, and that's why I think it's unnecessary, because obviously, like, most of my trips, especially for comedy, are very quick, are very, like, you know, one day, 2 days, maybe 3 days, or whatever. So, like, but I still take them, especially ones that are, like, that protect you, like, support your immune system so you don't get sick and shit like that. So I take stuff like that. You know, so obviously they're kind of like, you know, but for me, it's kind of like, I'm in, like, a sane thing. I'm like, all right, I'm getting protected when I'm traveling. I'm getting my things, especially when I'm traveling, because there's more chance to get sick traveling than all. So they're unnecessary. Like, I really don't need them, you know, logically.
Yeah, that's true. Cause I'm big on vitamins as well. So I also, my mother was a dietitian. So, So we're not dissimilar in that our mother's probably pumped up. We had Flintstone vitamins. I was a Flintstone kid, you know, 10 million strong and growing. So my mother was a dietitian. So I was very much into supplements and vitamins and stuff like that. And I still am in my adult life, but I don't take them on the road with me. When I go on the road, I just go. I go safe in the knowledge that, oh, I've been home for 4 days or 5 days and I've had my vitamins every morning.
Yeah.
So I just kind of leave them. So I'm kind
of. Yeah, of course. It's not going to, like, you don't need to drink, magnesium, you know. Yeah,
apparently you don't even need, I'm not a professional. If anybody's listening who does know what we're talking about, but apparently you don't even need the amount of vitamin that's in a vitamin.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Like, some of my science friends have, like, you know, the comedian Matt Kirsch, like Matt Kirsch will be like, you know, you just piss most of that away anyway.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, well, fine, but at least some of it must be.
I think to me, it's like, hey, you know, if it doesn't make a difference, why not try?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's not really hurting you, you know, because then if it's good, if you're going to piss it away, then hey, if to me, it's like, if it's going to give me, it's like a shield or something. Like, if I was a knight, you know, in the 1400s and they go like, hey, with this shield, you have a 5% chance that you're not going to get stabbed. Hey, give me that vitamin shield. You know what I mean? I'll take it.
Yeah, it's gonna be useful. I mean, I love like omega-3 as well. I always take my fish oils. And,
yeah, the fish oil. Yeah, I have that.
But yeah,
Brian sent us an article that says experts don't waste your money on vitamins. 3 studies find the supplements don't help extend life or worry of heart disease and memory loss. But this also was dated in 2013. So sorry, Brian.
Right. I mean, I didn't get the article, so I don't know where you're saying. But yeah, I mean, it's quite the debate, isn't it? That a lot of people say that. I mean, because I will say this too. My mother did not have, she didn't use omega-3. So even though my mom likes vitamins and all that, she didn't do omega-3. And then I was getting into omega-3 a few years ago, and my mom had these like stress not warts, but like little stress bumps showing up on her forehead. And I introduced her to omega-3 over a holiday, and then she was raving. Like 3 months later, they went away and she had her forehead back. They were all gone, and she was convinced. She's like, oh my god, it's your omega-3 stuff that you gave me. And I was like, well, thanks, you're welcome, mom. So I'll never stop thinking that there is a benefit. But
I think there's a benefit. I don't think it's not, like I said, it just gives you a little bit of extra of something that you might need, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or that you need.
Yeah, it allows you to store up a little bit.
Yeah.
So then I asked you, Francisco, what is your favorite place outside of California to go for a show? And you said it's pretty close between New York and DC, and of course you are technically a little bit from DC.
Well, yeah, I mean, I am from D.C., not okay, technically.
Sorry,
yeah, you are.
Well, sorry, you're a man of...
No, well, I grew up, I moved to D.C., and when I say D.C., I say Maryland, or if you're from the D.C. area, it's called the DMV area, because it's called D.C., Maryland, Virginia, which is like, three states, or, you know, the District of Columbia and Virginia, Maryland. So I grew up in that area, you know.
Right, right.
But yeah, so I moved there when I was, the first time I moved to the US, which was when I was 12. So, and then I grew up there until college, and you know, so yeah. I did grow up all there. So yeah, I think for me, DC, I like it because obviously it's where I'm from. You know, I got a lot of friends over there that I, you know, that come to see me on the shows, and the DC Improv is one of the best clubs to perform in the United States. It's a great, great club. So I love performing there too, as well, you know, as well as the Arlington Draft House. There is a great club too, as well. And then, so I like that because it's kind of like the hometown thing, you know, kind of like that. But
for sure, who doesn't love going home for a
game? Right. Yeah. And also when my mom used to live there and my dad used to live there, it was even better because then I would just go see family and perform. So then it was kind of like, okay, great. Yeah. For New York, I love New York because it's such a, because New York, it is, you know, like basically the place to do stand up, you know, like in terms of like the amounts of clubs and the culture and everything. And like every time I go to New York and perform there, I think I always get better because New York is like, it's so different from performing to LA because LA, I think you're allowed to be more, what's up, more artsy, more performing. In New York, you have to be completely real because a lot of the clubs are just very tiny. You're an attic. So, and the stage is like this size, not a vagina, but like this. Yeah. But they're very short. So like, you gotta be very real when you perform. So, which is very cool for me to actually practice that, you know, as well. So that's why I love performing in New York. And also it's a very smart crowd and very like crowd that they don't, if you don't laugh, if you don't, like if you're not being funny, they're gonna let you know. They're not gonna be nice about it. So that's another thing that I like about New York.
Right on. Last time when I was in New York, it's always different. Every experience, New York experience is different, I guess, because I've been there on tour with Jim Jeffries as well, but I've also did a couple of shows there and in the club scene and stuff, and I was on with a lot of comedians with notepads. I've never seen so many notepads and pretending that it was new material.
Performing while reading.
Yeah, because I was like, I can tell you've done this 100 times, yet you have your notepad and you're like, I'm just working this out.
That's the magic trick of like making it look like, hey, I just came up with this, but not really.
Yeah, that's how I felt in New York. I felt like I was around a bunch of comedians who thought they were awesome because they were pretending to read their notes.
Yeah, actually, I don't like that. I like to be prepared. I think if you're paying as an audience, I can't come up and be like, I'm just gonna like try new bits for. Unless that's the show, you know, and unless you are a big comic, big pop. Like, hey, I get if you're Chris Rock and you're Jerry Seinfeld, you earned that. Right, to actually use those shows to work on material, and if you want to bring but even they don't do it. I mean, a lot of times when I seen Seinfeld or Chris Rock pop up or even Chappelle, they don't have that.
I know that Louis C.K. did it frequently, and I think he started the trend. I think a lot of I was there like when I noticed this notepad thing, it was around the Louis C.K. Height of popularity. And so a lot of them are mimicking. But yeah, I feel that it's, I feel that it dulls the performance, and it's a crutch that a lot of weaker comics will use to pretend that they're working through it because they haven't made it good enough yet. But sometimes they have made it good enough in that, because I'll tell you right now, I did a showcase for a TV show before with this New York comic did his set. He did this set. He was doing a whole bunch of like, imagine if commentators were watching people as if they were animals in the wild, right? He did all this stuff. And that was the showcase for TV and industry. And then it was here in Hollywood, actually, that it was happening. So that was the showcase for TV and industry. And then I worked with him like 2 days later. And this is when it really got on my tits. I worked with him 2 days later, and I looked at the guy, and he got up there with a notepad, and he went, I'm just working some shit out here. And he did the same set that he did for TV and industry. And I was like, you wuss, you big fucking pussy, hide behind your notepad, because the stakes are
now broken. You have to name names.
Wait, I will when we're done the show, I'll let you know who got on.
Give me 1 second, I'm gonna get some water because I need some water because my mouth is dry, but give me one second.
Sure, buddy. You go lube up, and I'll talk to our people. Anybody watching right now, hi, thanks for hanging out. We're grilling Francisco Ramos. We're halfway into our questions for him. If you have any questions that you would like me to ask my co-host Francisco Ramos, please feel free to fire away. I'll keep my eyes on them. And yeah, to catch you up, that's what we thought we would do. Since what Francisco and I want to do as this podcast moves forward, we're going to have artists, comedians, movie makers, producers, musicians. We're going to have them on our podcast, and we're going to ask them these kind of questions because we want to know what it's like for them to travel around and do their job and where they like to work and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Did you just have a supplement? Is that what that was?
I thought you weren't watching. No, I do just have to take it. I have to take these pills. But just
all right. We got our next question, man, and it's.
I was trying to be slick about it. Obviously,
oh,
yeah. Didn't want.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Really? I don't even. Did I ruin the slickness?
Yeah, because you called it out.
Oh, did I?
I was trying to be like, oh, hopefully, but it's so dumb.
I thought you were showing it. Like, I was trying to address our audience, and so I wasn't really paying attention. I thought,
maybe. But it was so dumb of me doing it. Like, it's like I'm doing it in front of the camera. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, hopefully they don't see it in front of the camera.
well, they'll know now.
Yeah,
and the thing about these broadcasts, they can rewind them and look.
Yeah, yeah.
I asked you, buddy. I asked you where your favorite place. Your favorite place outside of California for a holiday.
Yes.
And you told me Europe.
Yes, and yeah, the reason. I mean, I haven't been to Europe that much, and I do like the culture of Europe, even though I haven't been. I mean, the only times that I've been to Europe has been to Paris. And then to Ireland, and that's right. Pretty much it. So, and the two times that I've been there, I just like the culture, the European culture, you know. And I do wanna be, and I'd love to be able to, you know, go around all the countries of Western and Eastern Europe, and because there's such a variety. I mean, you know, obviously you have the knowledge of being in. You know, lived in it, so like you know about it.
Yeah, only because I lived. Yeah, I did. I lived there for 15 years, and I still tour Ireland as frequently as I can. Yeah, I tried to hook you up with, because the International is quite a famous gig in Ireland. Yeah,
I wanted to do it, and it was the thing about it was like the guy, like you gave me the information. I'm sorry about.
Yeah,
it.
I gave you the contact for Aiden.
But the guy didn't get back to me like late or something, and then I couldn't do it. You know, it was something like that. But it was, you know, I wish I could have performed there. Because I did perform in Paris.
Yeah, right.
I did. In English, obviously, because, I mean, I don't know a lick of French, you know. But, like, but I did perform. It was, like, a Patriots thing, like expatriots or something. It was, like, a guy.
Oh, expats.
Expat. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And
that's what all the gigs in Europe are, man. Like, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. When you hear me say, like, I did a show in Sweden or I did a show in Norway, it's usually to English-speaking expats.
Yeah.
It's not, it's never to people who are like, what is your language? I don't understand English. It's always expats, it's always people who have emigrated around Europe. Even if when you're in Dubai, even when you're like doing Dubai, Doha, Abu Dhabi, those are all Americans, Canadians, British, and Australians, you know, generally.
Cool. Yeah, like a hostel.
So yeah,
like when you do hostels here in the LA.
like hostel life.
But I did like that. I mean, one thing I want to say about it, like I like the good. I remember performing in Paris, and it was cool because it was like, for me, like it was like, oh, my jokes work here too. So it was a cool thing to be able to be like, oh, my jokes are universally enough that I can perform. And that to me, that was really cool because, you know, there's a lot of comics, as you know, that are just very, like, they do stuff that only the people from that little town knows, and then you can't perform anywhere else.
Yeah, 100%. Because it's not a language barrier. It's like a topic barrier or an emotional barrier. And so it's good to realize, like, I write comedy that everybody can relate to. Like, I talk about emotional things or my spirit or something that we're all tied together by. Whereas, some other people have a very specific, hey, that corner shop down the road, or what's up with our local sports team?
Or they're and sometimes not even about location, but also very like inside, like about a show, for example, or that nobody, you know, that's like, hey, did you, you know, and nobody like would know about that show unless you live in Silver Lake, you know, or something like that, you know.
Yeah. They get very specific. And that's why it's even more fun when you travel to some of those towns. And then if you manage to make one of those observations, that's small, like what's up with your corner store? Yeah, then you've got them for your whole.
Well, that's always a trick when you go into a new city or, you know, whatever, try to find something funny that you can say about them in the beginning so you can get them, and then boom.
Yeah. 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 Oh, entirely, man. Which brings us to, so I've just turned the page. It brings us to this question. I asked you what your favorite recreational activity on a flight would be, and you said sleeping, which this won't take long to justify.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you travel as much as we travel, like, you want to get there as fast as possible, and you want to, and to me, I really don't do that much work. I don't know if you do. Like, I don't really do that much work on planes, like even like getting I get ready to my, you know, if I'm doing sets or working on my set or working on new material, I do it on the hotel room, but I don't do it on flights. That doesn't appeal to me.
It's very difficult. It's not comfortable. I'm 6'3", so if I have my laptop up and I'm trying to write, it's really hard to see because there's not enough room to have it so that at long far enough away. And so, because that being said, I will say, a couple of times writing for the Jim Jefferies show, I have had, because we have our script
that's right
due on Friday, and sometimes I'll book a gig, so I'm flying Thursday night, I'm flying, like sometimes I'm even on a red eye if it's any further. Like I could be flying, I specifically remember Toronto, I was doing some shows in Toronto, I'm flying LA to Toronto, I was leaving Thursday night at 10 at night.
Yeah.
Going to arrive in Toronto at like 7 a.m. or whatever with the time change. And my script was due at like 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I had to sit on this flight doing it. I got zero sleep and I'm working and I'm hunched over. And it is not ideal. The whole way I was like, this just can't be done. But I have been in that situation like two or three times where you just have no choice.
Yeah, you just have to do it. Yeah.
So you don't want to do it. So I remember thinking the whole time is what I should have done is just worked through the night previously and then slept on the flight.
Yeah.
Because that's the best use of time is to sleep instead of being hunched.
But it's sometimes very hard to sleep on flights too. You know what I mean? Even if they're red eyed, you know, it's like, it's never like, you know, at the end of the day, you're not, unless you're flying straight, like the business class airplanes where you get those and you can actually, you know, recline and be complete flat, you know, then even if you're first class traveling an old plane, that's not even that comfortable either.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, totally. Like I try to hunch over and put my arms down on the dinner tray thing and then have my head down. And
have you had people that sleep, that fall in your lap, not in your lap, but like in your arm, like yeah, people, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you're not killing.
every now and then somebody gets familiar. Yeah, totally. Tell me about this. Tell me about the time you lost your wallet on a flight.
That
would suck. That would suck.
It would completely suck. And I was like, and I'm very paranoid. So to me, I was like, I literally thought, I was like, because, okay, so the flight was to, I was going to Spokane.
Right, Spokane, Washington. Yeah.
And then, so I lost a flight. I think it was Seattle or something to, you know, when it's the connection. And then I remember I was in the bathroom, I was taking a,
you don't have to share too much.
Brain guts. No, I was going to say brain guts, I was taking one of his things that he likes to
Brain guts will want to know.
Yeah. And then I just remember going like, oh my God, where's, the whole, where's my wallet? And as soon as I go out, they're like when they close the door of the gate and they're like, oh my, and they're like, sorry, we can't go in now. They're cleaning the thing. Well, hopefully they'll find it. And obviously they didn't find it. And at that point, I'm calling my manager, Justin. And I'm going like, in my mind, I'm going like, all right, I have become homeless now. Like, right. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to live in Spokane. I'm not have anything, that's where my mind went.
I live here now.
Yes. And I was like, fuck. But then what was funny was after I calmed down and stuff like that, I went to get a coffee on Starbucks and I paid with Apple Pay. And So then I started realizing, I'm like, oh, wait. And then, I got to Spokane and then I got an Uber with my phone. And then I went to the bank and then I got some money out to the bank. Then I got to the hotel. They didn't care about my ID. I showed them the reservation on my phone and they're like, all right, you're in. And then finally, when I got back, I'm going like, all right, I don't know how I'm going to travel back or whatever. So I get back. So I get very early to the airport, after the show the next day. And then I tell the guy, the TSA guy, it's like, I lost my license. I can have my phone here, and they got, I was like, look, I'm a stand-up comic. You can Google me. And after the guy's like, oh, really? Oh, what kind of comedy do you do? And then he started being so cool about what kind of comedy he does. And I'm like, and then he's like, oh, okay. Well, just wait here a little bit. We'll just check it out, in the computer and stuff like that. And then I got in. So my whole thing, I was like, oh, this license is useless. Like I could do everything with my phone. So to me, it was like, if you lose your phone, that's when you're really fucked up.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought of that. But yeah, everything truly is on your phone. I don't actually think you've actually just reminded me. I think after we finish the podcast, I'm going to have to set up my Apple Pay.
Yeah, do it, bro.
Just because I don't think on my current phone I've done any of those things. But yeah, it's so convenient, like tapping and stuff.
That's it. It was like, and especially it was so funny. I was like, oh my God, like I was going paranoid. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, they didn't need any form. I need to, and even to travel, that was my first thing. You can actually travel without a license, without identification. Right. If you tell them ahead of time this happened and they look it up, because obviously that's the thing that I realized is we're not, when you think nobody knows, the government is not watching you.
Yeah.
That's the biggest lie because, they can always, they went like this, they found who I was, unless they're really bad. Yeah. And the guy was like, they just Googled me and they saw me and I'm like, oh, okay, that's it.
Yeah. I hear about that. I've never had to do that, but I've heard that you can, if you've lost your wallet on the road, you can call ahead and they'll they got to put you in a separate room and give you a quick interview, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. They kind of show who you are and all this stuff, but it's you just have to show up like an hour and a half before you actually show up or something like
that. Yeah. Yeah. And they give you a little private pat down and you're off.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty lucky then. Like I've had luggage lost many times. The fact that you haven't had it yet.
I don't remember getting still not getting any. I mean, I think I have, but I just don't, not on the top. But to me, it was like and luckily that it was still in the US, because if it was like a Europe thing or whatever, or international, that's even worse. If you lose your, your wallet or your passport or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Totally. Yeah. I mean, I got so much ID right now. I need to get American ID, and I am having trouble getting my American ID because I have too much ID. I have a Canadian passport, British driver's license, American work permit. I'm like a bastardized.
You're Jason Bourne.
They just look at me and like, what are you? What the heck is this? Why can't you consolidate? And then I'm like, I want to consolidate everything to American, but they won't allow me. So I can't get, because, okay. So because it's really layered, because you have to have more than a year left on your work visa. I currently have 2.5 years on my newest work visa, but the last time I tried was like a year and a half ago. And they're like, you don't have enough time. And then before that, it was because my Canadian passport wouldn't read in their scanner at the DMV, because I have to go to the DMV to get a new driver's license first in order to get the entry pass. And oh, it's so layered. So I still haven't gotten to that next step. And now we've been in quarantine, pandemic, quarantine. So I still haven't gotten my American driver's license. That's first on my to-do list. I have a hit list. I'm gonna go after the DMV.
Yeah, like Jason Bourne.
Yeah, just like Jason Bourne. Turns out you're right, dude. I'm like Jason Bourne. So when we can get appointments again, I'm gonna try to get a DMV appointment. Hopefully, get an American license. And America's the only country I've ever been to that doesn't give licenses away if you already have a license.
What do you mean?
Like in order to get one time I got a Canadian license by sending in my British license, and in Britain I got a British license by just sending in my Canadian license. They just go, all right, cool, here you go.
Really?
There's your new license. Yeah, they just do it. They don't even check. Only in America, because in America I thought so too. I nonchalantly went to the DMV and went, all right, can I have an American license? And I went to hand in my British license, and they were
what
are you doing? And I was like, well, I'm an adult. I know how to drive. I thought you guys would just, and they're like, no, you have to be tested again. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
They don't do that in any other
states between when I moved from Maryland and to California, I had to take the test again, to get the actual, because there's different laws, every state has a different law,
So it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, man. Totally. Yeah. So yeah, the fact that I have to redo the test, because it's actually got me studying for the first time in like more than first time since I was 16 years old taking my driver's license in Canada.
And the practical one is even more annoying too.
Well, you have to get 90%, don't you, on the test?
No, I'm talking about the practical one, the one you drive, that one, because that one you're used to driving one way, and then they're like, but you have to be so like, okay, I'm gonna drive like this, and then I'm gonna check here, this like shit. Like I was like, you gotta like really. It's like you're bad acting. You're like, you can't do one hand. You gotta put like this, all this.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Oh yeah. It could easily go wrong if I'll start bird dogging the chicks. I'll just be reckless. So yeah, so tune in for when the pandemic kind of closes out a little bit. Tune in for that drama of me going for my license, because I've taken the online tests as well. I'd like to practice the practice tests. I was getting good at them at the end, just before the pandemic. The pandemic happened like a week before my driver's test.
Oh shit!
And everything shut down, and I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. And I was there to do it like 2 weeks before, but my Canadian passport wouldn't scan. So they were like, oh. And then what happens when your passport doesn't scan is it ends up going through a process, like they take a photocopy of it and everything, but it goes through a fraud process, which is because they're under the same thing. So possible fraud is this under the same category as we couldn't read this guy's passport. So when I called back a week before the pandemic and I was like, hey, my appointment for my test has been pushed, and they went, oh, we see here that you're a possible fraud. And I was like, no, the machine
just didn't scan.
Yeah, it wasn't working to scan. And they go, oh, well, you're under fraud investigation now. I was like, whoa, no, hold on. And then,
you should have been the fraud is the machine. That's what you should be investigating, because that didn't work at all. That's the fraud.
I know. Imagine how much trouble you're having getting along with people. I'm going, no, you're the fraud. You people are the fraud.
And that's the thing. You got to be like really cool to them, because they're always so, and some of them are just I mean, I understand they're so annoying by the job, and they just come, you come in and they're like, and sometimes people are like, the ego of like, no, you got to take care of me first. I was like, okay. So you got to kind of play cool.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Play cool.
This brings us to the final question, buddy. And this will be fun to talk about. Oh, sorry. Second last question, because I did ask you where you would like to travel that you have been, but then I also, we talked about Europe for a bit. So I'm aware that Europe is on your hit list.
Not hit list. Stop saying hit list.
On your to-do list.
You are a killer.
I like hit list. Sounds catchier, man. No, that's on my hit list. Sounds like
you're about to kill somebody.
So, well, I have a lot of hit lists, my friend. And so, yeah, the city that you'd like to go to is London. London's on your first on your to-do list.
Well, actually, I think Rome or Italy would be first, but I think both,
right,
you know,
a little bit pretty. I mean, Rome and Italy. I mean, London is, now I'm like, I've had the London goggles on because I lived there for so long.
Yeah, you live there.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's gritty. It's dirty. It's you know, it's a concrete jungle.
Yeah.
But there are pretty elements to it now that I'm thinking about it, because you can go on the London Eye and you can walk along the Thames. So there are pretty elements to it. It is a fun place. But yes, at Rome, Italy, also of course gorgeous. Yeah, you're gonna love Europe, man. I think hopefully maybe we'll be able to go there together someday, man.
Man, that'd be awesome.
Maybe we could do like a string of clubs and stuff. Maybe I can take you around.
That'd be great.
That would be super cool. The final question on our little podcast, and I mean, I will be able to talk. This is going to be fun to talk about. You gave a great answer that we'll dig into, but I was asking you how you used to travel about when you were kids, when you used to go on Ramos family holidays, and you, of course, went with the classic car, which makes sense, the automobile. But I can't wait to find out, like, let's go with, like, size of the traveling, because we used to, the Whiteheads used to have cats and dogs with them as well when we moved by cars and stuff. So I'd love to know, like, what kind of car are we talking about? What's the capacity? How are you guys packing it? And like, did you have trailers with it or anything like that? So
it was very, I mean, from what I remember, it was always just one, you know, the car, the family car. And then we just, I mean, it was, I was so little, like when we did, well, no, actually, because I was thinking of Venezuela when we did stuff, you know, but I was little. But then when we moved to the U.S., we would travel a lot to, like, New York, because my aunt used to live there. And we used to visit her and them all the time. So it was always just a car, you know, like nothing crazy, not a lot of packing, just very – I just remember, like, my dad, like, you know, like my dad used to love to sing, so he would sing a lot while we're driving.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm kind of like, I was like, okay, you know, kind of like, you're trying to like, they're like, that you're, plus you're a teenager, you're like, oh, shit, damn, you know, kind of stuff like that.
That's very interesting, though. As the singing Ramos family, I just,
the Von Trapps.
Wow, man, because you're not getting any singing under the Whiteheads. No. We were,
like, when you say the Whiteheads, like, you gotta be careful with that, you know, right? Because you'd be like, all right, here comes the Whiteheads, you know, and like,
what do you think? It sounds vaguely racist. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah.
So, it's my last name.
I know. I'm just saying. I mean, it doesn't affect me at all, but just for other people, it might be like, here comes the Whiteheads. You know, I was like, I know. Oh my God. Well,
buddy, it gets even worse, because what's a natural nickname for Whitehead? Like,
I don't know. Up?
Whitey.
Oh,
see if Whitey's coming. What's Whitey up to? Hey, Whitey, what's going on? Shit. And a lot of my friends, and of course, that was my father's nickname too. Ken Whitey
Bulger.
But of course,
that's why I think, you like the hit list.
I think definitely not. I think generally every generation of Whitehead has probably been called Whitey until, I would say, recently. I think now people are, because I notice I don't get called Whitey anymore. I get called Whitehead.
Yeah.
Everybody does the full name now, but definitely up until about 2014 or something, friends and casual people going, Whitey's coming with his girlfriend, and now it sounds very right. There's nothing I can do. If I'd have known how sensitive the world was going to get, I might have maybe changed my stage name.
Yeah,
but I didn't know. I, you know, my stage name's been around for 20 years, and nobody blinked an eye at at it. But now I'm like, yeah, maybe I should have just been Jason John or something.
Yeah. I should have, or you could just go the head of the white, the head of the whites.
I think it would just be easier if I could just go back 20 years and just take white out of my name.
Yeah, just JJ Head.
Yeah, maybe JJ Head would be all right. I mean, I'm sure we'll all get over it in the end. But yes, you're right. It does.
No, I mean, I think it's. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, it's a last name. It's kind of like there's a lot of people like their last name is Black or Brown, you know.
Yeah, I know one guy's last name is Racist Motherfucker. So he's a tough one. Even when we shorten it, it's like, hey, is Racist coming tonight? And it's just.
Hey, our producer just said that, JJ Head could be your porn name, you know?
Ooh, there
like JJ Head on JJ Head on traveling, you know?
Yeah, if the stand-up comedy career ever goes down the drain, that's a...
Like, that could be... Like, what would your character do? Like, you know, like, because the porn characters, they all have a story. So, but like, maybe your thing, you're like a detective, but you don't fuck. You only get head because you're JJ Head.
Yeah, I'm JJ Head is here, so everybody on your knees. No, what? this has gone a terrible direction. Now that we're talking about it. But that's good to know. So I wanted to say about your traveling down to as in a family in a car going DC to New York, because I don't I can't think of it offhand, but how long a car journey is that? It's not an epic journey, is it?
No. I mean, that was like a 4 or 5 hour trip. I mean, I do remember like back in Venezuela, we did a trip where it was like 11 or 12 hours. We went from where we used to live to another city in Venezuela. And that was like, yeah, like 11 or 12 hours. So that was a long one. But again, I was little. I don't really, I mean, I do remember too from Venezuela of, you know, just traveling in the car with my grandma. My grandma, we used to go to the beach with her all the time. My grandma and my grandpa, me and my sister. And my grandma was like you said, like the Whiteheads, where she had a dog and a cat and a parrot.
Right.
So it was the whole zoo and then my grandma was like not a sweet grandma. She was like, she would like yell at people. She would drive really fast. She would be
really?
Yeah. So it was like, imagine this, like, just like a whole like with cats and ducks and just like bang, hey, move. And I was like, oh my god, like we're almost gonna, you know, like every time we drove it was like almost close to dying there.
That sounds cartoonish, you know?
Yeah, cartoonish, right?
Yeah, you saying that, I picture just a cartoon family, like, you know, in a jalopy with dogs, everything hanging out the window and just a crazy lady behind the wheel yelling.
Yeah, that was it. That was literally what it was.
Oh, that's a family holiday, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Well, buddy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you now know. Look, I think our producer has written it in the comments. Yeah. Coming this fall to CBS, Detective JJ Fellatio. So,
that's funny because I see it on the stream chat and it says it doesn't let you see. It's just asterisks on the Twitch. So it doesn't say, it doesn't allow you to see Phil. I didn't even know what it was until you said it.
Oh, I actually don't know what you're talking about right now. But
no, like on Twitch, I'm watching the stream chat on Twitch.
Yeah.
And you know, Brian wrote coming this fall to TBS, Detective JJ, but it just says asterisk. It doesn't say fellatio.
Oh, really? It edited out because on my end, you must have like a child setting or something, because mine's fine. I can read fellatio on mine.
Oh, really? Yeah, mom, I got the so childproof
one. Yeah, your computer is protecting you, is treating it like a sensitive.
My computer is protecting me from JJ fellatio.
Yeah, buddy. ladies and gentlemen, people tuning in for our first ever live podcast. I hope you've enjoyed Stand By. This is like episode 11 of our podcast. If you like our previous podcasts, are on our YouTube channel, and from now on these live podcasts will be living here on Twitch for a little while. So please subscribe and stuff. I know that on Twitch in particular, you got to get to 50 subscribers before they think you exist. We are currently we were at 7 before the recording.
All right, we're getting there.
we can always use subscribers. And
next week, I'm gonna be interviewing you.
Yeah, that's better. That's better. You almost said you're gonna do me, and considering
I was gonna try to do the joke about I was gonna interview Detective JJ. You know, so I was like, I'm not gonna say it, and then I was like, I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, next week we'll have JJ Fallatio. Exactly. Next week we're gonna flip the script because that's what we want to do. Francisco and I intend to co-host this show, and we want to interview other comedians and musicians and actors and stuff. So that's why I thought today we'll interview Francisco and introduce him to you guys. And next week will be my turn.
Yes. So yeah, please follow us on, you know, Twitch, follow us on YouTube. And also we have Instagram and Twitter as well. You know, so
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
That as well.
Yeah, Twitter's good fun. I try to put up little things on Twitter and play around with that account when we get a chance. And yeah, so have yourselves a good time in the meantime. Thank you for hanging out for our show.
Bye, Yellow. Thank you very much. See you next week.
Cheers.